Hello, welcome to The Catch Up. Thank you for streaming. Make sure you subscribe. Got a delicious little look into the world of polyamory today.
World of what?
Absolutely. Amy from Audley is in a polyamorous relationship and she gave us a bit of the ins and outs, if you will.
So, our finance minister, Matthias Cormann, he must have really won well on the Melbourne Cup because that was his exciting occupation this week.
And Warnie's book's out. Yep, the first time of 13 books written about him, first time he's been involved. And, of course, why wouldn't we get Shane in to read it?
Absolutely.
Wrong Shane.
Enjoy the catch-up.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
The book of the summer. I know he's calling it that. Shane Warne's No Spin, written with Mark Nicholas, his former co-commentator on Channel 9. And we teased it yesterday saying that Warnie was going to be on the show with us today. We made a slight error. Mm. He's actually on next week with us.
Next Friday.
But in a real wonderful twist, Shane Bourne, we all know from Thank God You're Here. We haven't seen enough of him. He's with us right now because he thought we were saying he was going to be on the show. Hi, Shane.
Well, there's been a lot of confusion over the years because of Shane Bourne, Shane Warne, and so I thought the call had gone out. I've got on the plane to Bris Vegas, and here I am to read a section from the book Marto. Hello, Robin, and to you, Moon Man.
Great to have you, Shane. And, of course, Shane Bourne's work includes Dancing with the Stars. He was in City Homicide. Hey, It's Saturday.
Is there a better MC host in Australia than Shane Bourne?
Morning.
Well done, mate.
Absolutely not. I absolutely am the best. The Tower of Pisa.
Stand by, Shane, while we just play a quick intro.
Oh, Shane! He's done it.
Shane Bourne reads Shane Warne.
The most beautiful delivery.
Oh, yeah. It just makes sense.
I say it. Yeah, it's absolutely. So this is the opening of the book, The Author's Note, from Mark Nicholas, also known as a groovy baby. He writes, I met Shane in 1993 outside my girlfriend's house in London, having driven at the speed of light from a county game in Nottingham. Nerves on edge to ask her to marry me. I parked in the road, took a deep breath and climbed out of the car, only to see the blonde leg spinner, oh, look out, chap, who had bowled the gatting ball a couple of weeks earlier, emerge from the front door.
Shane, can you just hold up there? So you're describing, this is Mark Nicholas writing the start of the book, is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
He's had a game of cricket, come home to his flat in London, and Warnie's walking out of his girlfriend's house.
Warnie is walking out of his girlfriend's front door, and that is not a euphemism. Okay.
All right.
Okay, writes Nicholas. I thought this boy is good. Charm was written all over him. He explained that a mate of his knew her sister and that the four of them had whacked a bottle of rosé or two in the next door pub. Oh, come on, mate. Who's gobbling that story? Before attacking another on the tiny back patio, again, not a euphemism, of the girl's terraced cottage. This was sensational.
This is the start of the book.
Strap yourselves in, sports fans. This is getting hot, hot, hot. So, he said he was sorry to rush, but he had a commitment for which he was already late. No worries, I said, and that was that. The next time I saw him was on the telly, knocking over England again. I didn't propose that night, writes Nicholas. The adrenaline had dissipated. Yeah, I wonder why. I was not to know that he had recently popped the question himself on a boat in the Lake District.
Can we unpack all of what we've just heard there, Shane? So this is the first part of Shane Warne's book.
Sounds like Warne might have taken a maiden over, if you like, inside the flat.
Do we know if Mark Nicholls then proposed at a later date? Is that now his wife?
We don't know that, Robin. but the final paragraph goes, women have been both Shane's fun and his folly. Cricket, of course, is his fulfilment. He is the truest, in the truest sense, a great cricketer. Touched the game in all genres and formats and in myriad ways. Mainly, he's ridden roughshod over any opponent who has stood in his way. So that is the way the book opens. sensational. I mean, it is like watching Todd McKinney on Dancing with the Stars. It's just floating this way and that. Cha-cha-cha. Sensational.
That was Shane Bourne, Reed Shane Warne. In the lead-up to Shane Warne joining us next Friday, we're going to hear a bit more from
him. I might be on with Warney too. Warney and Bourne take on Brizzy.
Yeah, I'm sure Warney's very excited about
double
that.
Double Shane.
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning, Warney. Yeah, good on you.
Where's Maurie these days?
Wow, poor old Maurie passed away. Oh, he's in the pantheon of the gods, telling gags to St. Peter, no doubt.
Big breakfast.
Probably pinched one of the gates and flogged it.
Okay. Thanks, Shane.
Brisbane's Triple M.
Time now for Matthias Cormann's Exciting
Occupations. Hello, my name is Senator Matthias Cormann, the finance minister in the current government. I'm a member of the upper house in Canberra, and this is my segment, Matthias's Exciting Occupations. Because this week is the week when we watch the race that stops a nation, this week's exciting occupation is jockey. When my father was a boy, the race that stopped the nation was the Germans. But as a Belgian, I should let bygones be bygones. Jockeys don't come in all shapes and sizes. They only come in tiny. They can be men or women. Hello, little person. You're 150 centimeters high. What are you going to do with your life? There's only so many productions of Snow White each year, and Willy Wonka has already been remade, and they only had one Oompa Loompa. So, what are you going to do? That's right, become a jockey. The life of a jockey is one of strict discipline and great self-deprivation. You spend your life fasting or in a sauna. The only other people that spend more time in saunas are Russian gangsters or gay men shredding for the Mardi Gras. Then there is the early mornings climbing onto your trusty steed to ride track work at the crack of sparrow's fart. It's tiring, lonely work, and you're so hungry you could eat the f***ing horse. These mighty beasts reach breakneck speeds, and the cruel irony is that the person most unsuited to falling from a horse and being trampled by one is you, you tiny, vulnerable human. You must be absolutely shitting yourself. But after all the hard work and sacrifice, it's race day, the pinnacle in your week. You get dressed up in your colourful silks, climb onto the flighty beast, thunder around the track surrounded by other horses, 72% of which will never run a place. But, tiny person, at least you get to whip that equine beast on the bottom with your whip. What fun. That's what I call a day at the races. Jockey, you are this week's exciting occupation.
Boys, you are never, ever, ever allowed to have a crack at me again about watching The Bachelorette. Because, Greg Martin, what did you watch last night?
I briefly watched a little bit of it. It was on.
Yeah, okay. So I came all full of froth and bubble to talk about a couple of things that happened on the show last night. One was Bill, one of the blokes, took Ali, the bachelorette. They're at home stays at the moment. His idea of a romantic homestay was to take her to the dog park. But if that was not the highlight, that was one of the awkward moments of last night's show. The highlight,
was
I
was that
think,
where he got the ex-girlfriend to talk to her?
Yeah, shocking.
Oh, this just says to me that none of the parents or brothers or some of the sisters wanted to talk
to
Ali.
No, they didn't want to be on TV.
No one wanted to be on TV.
So
it's such
had
an embarrassing
to bring in other
show.
People. Yeah.
Can I ask you this? Did you see the ex-girlfriend, Robin?
Yeah, she was really
pretty. Is she old and bald like Ali?
Okay, Ali is not old and bald.
She's got hair extensions.
Okay, that does not make you bald. It just
and
means
you reckon
like
that
long
she's
hair.
Older
no,
than
I
she's
didn't
saying.
Say that.
I did.
Anyway, let's move
she's
on.
She's 36 or 7, and these
she's
guys are all in their late 20s.
And bald.
Blokes talking about The Bachelorette. Okay, but the end of it happened with Charlie. Now, Charlie is the guy on The Bachelorette that's become really clingy. He's been a bit like Jared for those that watched with the Sophie Monk episode, just a guy just has too much to say and really possessive.
If he didn't talk, he'd be all right. Can we just for Moon's sake, Moon, he's a builder. He's about 6'5". He's got muscles. He's attractive in the face. He seems to be good to go, and then he starts talking.
And then he starts talking.
Don't talk, mate. Yeah. You've got all the tools in the shed.
Take your shirt off.
You need.
But he's also a bit of a control freak. So during the homestay, they're sitting there and Ali is waiting to know who she's going to meet from his family. And he turns around and says, "You're not going to meet anyone because I have some rules and conditions about us moving forward."
T's and C's.
Yeah, T's and C's. Well, Ali got a bit upset. And then at the rose ceremony, she confronted him about it. And this is what happened.
I'm 100% committed. I'm completely invested. I can see a future with you. I can see myself falling in love with you. But there's the one thing missing.
What? it just being you and me. The issue for me is, and it really eats me up, that we are not exclusive. Because you are committed to other people here, Ali. You're seeing someone else. That's not right. In the real world, you'd call it unfaithful. But here, it's the Bachelorette.
And you've known that I haven't been exclusive to you from the day dot.
Yeah,
so I don't know what it is now that you feel like you can't fall in love with me because I can't be exclusive.
The emotion is at such a high, and I care so much that it's actually hit me. To know that there is other people involved, it kills me.
Huh. So does he not understand the concept of Bachelorette? There was 17 other blokes vying for her attention and he's going, I want to be exclusive.
It's not a tool. I think that's fair enough. He's saying that he's starting to feel for her and therefore for him to feel comfortable and safe moving forward, he wants to hear from her that he's the one.
And
but
Channel 10 have got another few weeks to go. They can't this can't happen.
So then he said to her, Ali, it's up to you. What? If you're not happy with it, I'll leave. And she said, then leave. I reckon he actually was totally in his rights to do that. He may have been a tool. Like, let's not mince.
But you can't have rules in that situation. In fact, rules don't work. They just don't work.
What do you mean? In relationships?
No, rules don't work in relationships. Rules are meant to be broken. You can't have rules on laws.
You have to have an understanding between a couple and the parameters in which you operate. I think every couple has rules.
Why don't you just make the mistakes and then do you create the rules before mistakes are made or make the mistakes going, listen,
both.
We should deal with this.
I mean, and I don't care what your rules are. If you want to go out and sleep with every Tom, Dick and Harry and you're married, you go right ahead. But as long as both people have a set of understandings and rules in their relationship, that's how it works.
Mm. There's cheating and there's cheating, though.
What? And
if you leave your undies on, it's not cheating.
So,
That's not a thing. Hold on, where did we get to?
That's not a thing. It's revealing
that was just an announcement to my wife.
Are you in the Bill Clinton playbook?
Yeah.
So are you telling me, Lawrence Mooney, that if someone puts a ruler onto you that feels like an anchor around your neck and therefore you're going
to
break it?
I'm not going to respond well to rules. If somebody starts laying down the law, I think there's an understanding, but if there's rules, you've got no future.
A lot of people like you, Moon. A lot of people don't like being told what to do.
A lot of blokes don't like being
told. Women.
Here we go. Let's rip it open.
Good breakfasts. Can of worms.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Robin Bailey? What's your statement?
My statement is relationship rules do work.
I reckon it's a great way to kill your relationship. Start making rules.
You'll do the exact opposite.
Being muzzled.
Okay, Tim of Carindale. What do you reckon? Do you think rules work?
I'm with me, man. Rules are rubbish. If you're in a relationship, you should have respect for each other, so you don't need rules at all.
But where's the line between respect and rules? Like, doesn't the respect come from having boundaries within the relationship?
But there's no written down rules or actually, with my wife, we don't have spoken rules, but we just respect each other and respect their wishes.
Hey, Tim, what about if...
There's no rules.
As your relationship had built, and you started living together and she discovered something about your you've got a terrible habit of, insert, not cleaning the toilet, would you then a rule have to be established?
No, I don't think it would have to be established. Probably my biggest thing is Marto. I'm a rugby person, so I went out to drink a fair bit, but I respected that I went and slept in the spare room as soon as I got home.
That's respectful.
No rules. I made that decision. There was no rule.
Because she can't tell you, can she, Tim? By the sounds.
Hold on. Robin's just had a go.
She's giving you one on the way through, Tim.
Amy of Audley, what do you reckon about rules in relationships?
I don't think my relationship could function without rules.
okay. Now, why is that, Amy?
Strict person.
I'm in a polyamorous relationship, and so we're allowed to go out and have dates and, get up to whatever we want. And if it feels more, then we can have multiple partners. But we need a strong understanding of, what's allowed to happen on those dates and what's not. And,
wow.
Run us through some of the rules, Amy. So remember that we are on the radio.
Please.
If you happen to be out with some friends having a good time and you just run into someone that you think's rather attractive, you can't just go home with them that night. You got to be going out on a date, and you got to let the other person know that you're going out on a date. And if you're on a date, that means you can have some fun. But there was some warning beforehand,
you got to declare your intentions.
Can't be a spontaneous one nighter in the polyamorous world that you live in.
Oh, I mean, some people let it work, but not for my partners and I. We like to keep it. you know, some heads up, so it's not a surprise when we get home and find out someone else has had a good night without us.
Oh, I mean, are these rules like on the fridge or something? Like, are they like birthdays? Just are they
written
down?
The Ten Commandments?
I mean, they're actually in my phone at one point because we wrote them all down so we could figure it out and talk it out and figure out how to adjust and figure out where we saw and where we disagreed on it.
Can we also cancel the rest of the show? I just want to keep talking to Amy.
I think we all do, but okay. Rules work for Amy. Let's get the final say from Trent, Robin.
Hey, Trent, Oxenford, what do you reckon?
So, yeah, there's no rules in my relationship with my missus. We've been together for just over 9 years, got two kids together. Yeah. It comes back to the mutual respect.
Oh, there's that word again.
Yeah, respect. I see, I don't find that there's a huge amount of difference between respect and rules. I think you get respect if you have the... No.
Are you just...
Whereas rules are just hand out and given. So you earn each other's respect.
But don't you navigate that together when you get together, or else it'd be anarchy within a relationship?
Rules. Well, it's got to be anarchy for a little bit.
You've got to have a certain amount of respect for the other person for the relationship to start. You can't just come in firing out rules.
But what if your respect is different?
And respect their wishes.
What if your respect is different to her respect?
Well, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, you won't be together.
Okay.
All right, Trent, thank you for that.
Nail the numbers.
Opinion split right down the middle, 50-50 on 133.53.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd love to see the gender lines on that one. I really would, because the people that were not liking the rules were the blokes.
Yeah, big time, big time. Yeah. And Amy
Women love a rule.
Amy from Audley.
Let's make another rule.
How's Amy?
Yeah, if you'd like to call back Amy on 133.53.
Or just text those rules.
We've got some more questions for you off air. It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
The only thing that I'm really interested about the US election, the midterm elections, I have a cursory look over them, is just to see what Donald Trump will put out on Twitter, because the man is a complete lunatic in my books.
Oh, God. Did you see him in that press conference yesterday telling people, I don't like you, sit down.
I know, go away. Oh, anyway, there was one other story that came out of the US elections that I heard last night, which is absolutely hilarious. Listen to this.
In Nevada, the unlikeliest victory of all. Reality TV star Dennis Hoff owns a series of brothels and was backed by evangelical Christians. 3 weeks ago, he died. Last night, he was elected.
What?
Wow.
A brothel owner supported by evangelical Christians cocks it and yet still is on the Senate ticket and gets elected to the US Senate.
Who represented him? Is it his leading girl or something or other?
I don't know.
Are you saying that a dead brothel owner died with a massive election?
The Big Breakfast, Christmas Triple M.
Okay, so my wedding is in 8 days. It's tomorrow week.
We wouldn't even know.
No, I know.
You barely mentioned it.
Shut up.
You'll actually eat again one day, won't you?
You guys talk about it far more than I do. What? You were very upset a couple of weeks ago because you thought, oh, my God, what do I have to wear?
That's because I remembered your wedding was on. But we don't need remembering because you'll tell us.
I just keep telling you because I'm loving it. But something really sad happened yesterday and it's put a bit of a cat amongst the pigeons.
Oh, no.
To use your reference, Moon, if we were the royal family, then one of our matriarchs, who would in this particular comparison be the queen, Sean's mum had a fall yesterday.
Oh, not the hip.
No, thank God, actually, that would be worse. She was at her view club where she goes and...
Her what?
View club. I think it's like Rotary.
Okay.
I don't know. And she went to turn around. Someone called her name and she went to turn around and caught her foot on something fell backwards.
Backwards.
Oh.
Putting both her hands out to break the fall.
Collarbones?
No.
Popped shoulder?
Both her wrists are broken.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Both of them.
That is awful. But so, plaster?
Yeah, both of them are bit. And they had to they plastered them, and then apparently they plastered one of them and it wasn't straight enough, so they had to take off the plaster and redo it.
The poor old duck.
I know. And she was heard crying out as she was going down, I can't hurt myself. I've got a wedding.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know a huge amount. I mean, it's going right round the family and the wedding guests in the last 24 hours.
Have you ever had anyone with two broken arms? So I remember there was a kid at school. He had two broken arms, and every time he had to go to the toilet, the lady from the office had to accompany him and wipe his bum.
Oh, no.
Whose job's that one?
No.
Is that flower girls? Flower girls at the wedding?
No.
What's your mother? What's your future mother-in-law's name?
Her name, she's lovely. Lovely Scottish woman by the name of Margaret.
Margaret. Hello, Robin. I'm in the toilet. I've really bucked a number here. You're going to have to help me, love.
Stop it, Moon. Stop it. You become Mrs. Dowd.
able to drink. You know, if your arms are straight out, you can't get your hand to your mouth.
Can you plaster with your arms?
Well, Gregory, could you get this scotch for me and just pour it in my cake hole?
Choo-choo, here's some food, Mark.
Is she double-slinged or is she Christ the Redeemer or is she like many arms? Like, what's going on?
Okay, you lot better be nice to her next week when you see her.
Oh, right.
She's
going
to come to the... Yeah, absolutely.
So you're the moon man, are you? And you think you're funny with your bum wiping jokes? Just caught that, pal.
Toilet paper in our pocket. Can I help you, Mark?
Stop it!
We started talking about Dane Zorko, and he's having a bit of trouble with him and his girlfriend.
Well,
and
they're now calling him in the paper the ex-partner.
All right. Well, and Moon, you started going, well, I said there was a sure way not to have an affair was to have the same email account. You said your sure way not to have an affair is to make sure you speak to your wife morning and afternoon. And
if you're away, yes, give her a call to make sure that there's, you know, not somebody else in the bed beside you.
And you were relating that maybe women throw themselves at you occasionally. And I've called you on that. That's where the intervention began.
Do women throw themselves at
no,
you?
No, because...
Absolutely throw themselves. Right. Just pick themselves up and physically hurl themselves at me.
Let's discuss that, because everyone goes, oh, girls love a great sense of humour, so therefore they love comedians, so comedians must get sick beating it off. Now, you know, beating them off with a stick. I've worked with so many comedians and none of them have ever had women throwing themselves. Girls will laugh, but they're not throwing themselves at comedians. Can you just confirm that may be the case?
Look, I've got to say, in 24 years,
yes.
The amount of groupies I've had, that is women I've had relations with who have been in the audience, amounts to three.
Oh. Three?
Three in 24 years.
Good strike rate.
One lazy eye.
Yes.
One lazy eye.
Oh, man.
One morbidly obese.
Yes.
And one,
saying
and
that.
One was my first wife.
Oh, that's one every 8. How are you due? It's like Hallie's Comet. They come by every 8 years or so.
That's right. And so what's going to happen the next time? They're all going to get together. They're going to end up with an obese with a lazy eye who are married for a third time.
Do you believe that? Because a lot of people go, I tell you what, you get a lot of pool boys, you know, pool cleaners.
I don't believe
you get a lot of
that.
Sex if you did this job. But it's a myth in terms of comedians.
I think it's a myth. I think it's a myth.
What about former wallabies? How do they go?
Yeah, how do former wallabies go?
No good at all.
Former wallabies that can build stuff. How
no good,
good
at all.
You?
And I tell you what, I may be the only tradesman that's never had a female
never been
have
propositioned.
A crack. Never ever.
Mardo.
I've asked blokes on site, and the only bloke that's ever got one was a termite guy.
No,
like
no.
Women must love you if you get
the
rid of the termite
guy.
He got one day. She grabbed hold of him and took her into the bedroom after he'd done the spraying.
Well, I concur.
Talk about borer.
I would concur about that because
can we ask you, if you haven't work done, what male would you be most attracted to if they came into your house to do some work?
It depends on what you're dealing with at the time.
What do you mean?
Is what I would suggest.
But come on. What occupation would you throw yourself
electrician,
at?
Electrician?
No. At the moment, the rat guy is looking pretty good to me because we've got rats.
Yeah, the rat guy.
And, you know, if it's the council rat guy, he's got a really cute dog too. So that's an added bonus.
So a rodent man is who you...
Do you know, I reckon if you're a tradie and you've got a van... It's like, that's part of the way.
What, there's a chance you got a mattress in that van, so you're mobile.
And can I just say, Greg Martin, that I am sure women have thrown themselves at you, but you are so vague, you would have absolutely no idea.
Well, if it happened, I wasn't aware of it. But I've asked other blokes on site, and I swear the only guy who's got one is a termite man. Maybe we're not aware of what's going on.
Can who's getting the action?
A personal trainer's copying it? Do you reckon occupation that is most likely...
Because you're already hot and sweaty.
Oh, right. So you don't mind.
You don't mind.
But there's a lot of touching.
I reckon
tennis
pilots.
Pilots.
Pilot bloke in a uniform. Kath of Runcorn. Morning.
Good morning.
Which occupation do you think it is?
Well, I would think tree loppers.
Oh.
All right.
I know, because they... I just know of this one tree lopper. He's about 6'4". Mm. You know, whilst he's cutting the trees down, his shirt comes off and all his muscles are rippling. And I tell you one thing, if I was so inclined...
They're big beasts. They've got ropes. They take care of them.
It's quite primal, isn't it?
Ugh. Yeah, I agree. Well done, Kath.
It's quite primal, Kath. Yes, it is. Me think the lady doth protest too much.
Anonymous.
Oh, this is Anonymous. Mm. Okay, hello, Anonymous.
Hello.
What do you know about this sort of thing, occupations that get sex?
It's got to be a pilot, I think, is the sexiest occupation.
Robin claimed that. Why?
I think so too, because you can go from port to port. People don't know you. You can pick up as you go. Do you have any experience with this, Mr. Anonymous? Is that
not myself, no, but I know of other gentlemen that do.
What is it, the epaulettes on your shoulders or the nice cap?
I don't actually wear a cap for my airline, but, yeah, I suppose it's the whole suit thing. You know, man looks good in the uniform.
And where's it happening? Is it happening in the dunnies on the plane, in the cockpit, or in the four-star hotel?
The dunnies in the plane are too small now. You know, they're trying to fit in extra seats and stuff, so there's no room for that anymore, unfortunately.
So it's happening once you're free of the airport.
Off the plane, I'd say, yes.
Do you reckon there's bus pilots? You know how they also have epaulettes and sometimes a hat? Do you reckon bus pilots, bus drivers sometimes go, yeah, I'm a pilot. You want some?
I reckon coach drivers have always been quite prolific, coach drivers.
Yeah.
A woman loves a man in walk socks and tight shorts.
Remember male primary school teachers used to wear those long socks? I reckon they would have gone all right too. Well, male primary school teachers with some of the mums.
There's been stories about that in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Amanda of Redland Bay, which occupation do you think it is?
Good morning, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. I have to say,
got to be a painter. I think painters with a spray gun in their hand just look so sexy. It's all in the flick of the wrist.
Is that right?
Have you ever been there, Amanda?
Yeah, my partner's a painter. I absolutely love him coming home covered in white paint. He looks amazing.
Oh, hello, Amanda.
Oh, I'm glad it's working for you, lovely. That's awesome.
All right. That's very nice to hear, Amanda.
The room, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody...
Great.
Do
you get him to do, what happened at work today, and you just go weak at the knees?
Sometimes, but it's a bit too hard. You've got to just take it on board that he's playing with the nozzle.
We feel you.
Playing with the nozzle.
All right, we're a bit hot under the collar. We need to cool down. It's Big Breakfast at Triple M.